Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm just back from the holidays in Croatia, where in the afternoon it would routinely hit the mid-30s, which is too hot to do anything, even lounge by the pool. For many people, southern Europe in the summer is increasingly not a practical option, which is why perhaps we should start to appreciate the Irish climate a bit more. Patsy McGarry has been saying just this in today's Irish Times. Afternoon, Patsy.
Good afternoon, Sean.
You wouldn't be a fan of those kind of temperatures either?
Not in the slightest. I like it nice and cool like it's here.
Yeah.
I mean, in the studio as much as outside. No, I am not one for heat at all. I was never a great beach person anyway. I get bored lying on a beach.
Yeah.
I have to be doing things.
Yeah.
But I never could tolerate the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose that was really brought home to me very quickly and forcefully in my first summers in the States as a student. Mm. I was in New York. And New York in July and August is
sweltering.
Shocking.
Yeah.
It is shocking. And the first year we were there, we couldn't sleep at night with the heat, with the humidity and the heat. So we got a fan.
Yeah.
And then the fan was so loud it kept us awake as well. So we got no sleep for at least 2 months. And then in September it cooled off. And actually September is a nice time to be in New York. Mm. Or indeed those parts of Europe you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Either spring or particularly the autumn. And I learned that from going to Rome through the job so often. The time to be in Rome is in spring or autumn, but avoid it in the summertime because you have that lethal combination of heat and humidity.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. And so... Because it's an interesting thing that you'd start to wonder, are there perhaps maybe Europeans coming here during the summer? Because, it's in the same way people, and that tradition has been going on for years, that people would leave New York for those months if they could afford to do so and move to someplace a bit cooler.
Which they do. And
yeah.
The Romans have been doing it for 2,000 years. Mm. They get out of the city in the summer months to somewhere higher. Generally speaking, even the Pope has a summer residence, Castel Gandolfo, which the current man hasn't used, but that's him, his choice. There is already, it's happening. There's a trend and it's been advertised. I saw only at the weekend, I think it was Norway, was advertising cool vacations. And I mean, the northern temperate countries like ourselves, Scotland, to a degree, the north of England, Iceland, the Scandinavian countries are really in the market for that now because people like yourself, there's no point in going to southern Europe if you're going to spend the day inside in an air-conditioned hotel room.
Yeah.
And they only go out in the evenings. What's the point of that and the expense of it as well?
Yeah.
And then it's packed. It's absolutely jam-packed with people. So, I mean, there are all these factors militating against continued tourism in the Mediterranean countries or North African countries too as well, around the Mediterranean itself.
Yeah.
And that tendency of heat is getting worse. Like today... There was a record for a winter temperature recorded in Australia, 41.6 degrees. That's over 110 Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't. That's a winter temperature in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mad. But I do think it has a lot, I mean, for the future, it has major implications that people are going to stop going to those countries. They'll go somewhere else. They probably will come to countries like ourselves.
Mm.
And some do already. And what prompted that particular piece by myself in the paper today is a friend of mine had two Italians staying with her during the summer and they reveled in this Irish, wet, damp, cool summer.
Really? Yeah.
They had to come, as others say us, what's that phrase of Robbie Burns? Oh, that we, whatever, others say us, the same,
yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like that. We grumble and we grouse and we understand it because we talk about the weather one stop, one end of the day, one end of the year to the other, and it's all constantly changeable. Even the weather apps can't keep up with our weather.
Yeah.
They'd say no precipitation for the next 60 minutes and it's lashing outside within five. You know what I mean? But that's Irish weather.
Yeah. But that actually could be a thing in the sense that, I don't know, and this is just a sense I have, that whereas those parts of Europe are becoming just hotter and hotter every summer, our weather during the summer is becoming more and more changeable.
It also seems to be, for the last two summers in particular, since June of last year, wetter.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a difficulty. I mean, there's not a lot you can do outside in the rain. Now, fine, the rain is warmer in summer than it is in winter. You can find a virtue in that.
Yeah.
But for people like, I mean, friends of mine play golf, they can't play golf.
Because
the
golf
courses are sodden. I don't play the game myself.
Yeah.
And that is a drawback. But honest to God, I prefer that to the heat. You can work around that. You can do something with it.
Mm.
You can do whatever. Just, I think, and if it's cold, you can warm yourself. But if it's that hot, there's nothing you can do about it except for find an air-conditioned room.
Yeah. And then, burn more electricity.
Yeah.
Of course, part of the problem is us just like going to different countries anyway. That's probably not, that's contributing to this problem greatly too.
Yeah, tourism. Well, it is. There's no doubt about that. Air flight, it does contribute a huge amount to global warming. But we are being a bit shortchanged here, you know, Sean. When all this debate started about global warming some years ago or some decades ago, we were supposed to be getting the traditional Mediterranean type climate. Sort of hot, dryish
summers.
We're
supposed to have vineyards at this point.
Absolutely, yeah. And milder winters. Something went wrong there.
Yeah, that is a shame. Someone says it's 32 degrees here in Mallorca and nobody's complaining. But some days I could do with a good strapping Donegal breeze. It's not just the cold here, it's the constant rain and wind. What does that man suggest we or holidaymakers from abroad do in this weather? Well, I think Patsy, you know, acknowledged that.
The Scandinavians have had a very good line on that. There's no such thing as bad weather. It's just bad clothing.
Yes.
Dress
indeed.
For it.
Yeah.
And God knows we should know.
We don't want poor Europeans coming here to escape the heat. We want ultra-rich sheiks who we can fleece. We can charge them to stand out in the cold rain and called it cold weather therapy. That's genius. You should document
idea.
Yeah, or copyright that.
And that's something else we should be doing too, is exporting our rain to those countries.
Yes.
Tankers.
But you'd think that, that, you know, there's an angle to this. Ireland could be marketed as a place where
if Norway
you
is
can
doing
stand
it,
outside and it won't kill you.
If Norway is doing it, why can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cooler country than we are, as is Iceland. But they're marketing cool.
Yeah.
Cool is cool.
Yeah. Okay. In Budapest a few weeks back, it was almost 40 degrees. I found myself walking around the dairy section of many supermarkets. Yeah, we've all done that. just to get a bit of...
By the way, you mentioned Croatia there, Sean. Yeah. I was in Montenegro through Croatia about 2 years ago. Beautiful country.
Yeah.
And
it's
just beginning to get into, be developed.
Mm.
Fascinating. Tiny little country, very reasonably priced. Not at all crowded because it hasn't become a tourist destination. Parts of it does attract Russian oligarchs for historical reasons, but it really is worth the look for people who are investigating the Adriatic, that part of the world. Albania too now as well is coming up there. But you do have the problem there too in both those countries, same as Croatia, of heat.
Yeah, you're not going to escape the heat that way. And you're no longer a religious affairs correspondent.
I'm semi-retired, Sean. Yeah. Semi-detached since May of last year. I'm still on a contract to the paper. I want it to be.
Yeah.
I enjoy the job. I love working for the paper.
Oh, yeah.
And great colleagues there still. Yeah. They're still all talking to me. And I don't play golf. I have no interest in playing golf. I want to keep the mind active. And so I continue to work as long as I can.
But just given all this Eamon Casey stuff that's going on now.
I have grave doubts about a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. In what sense?
Well, I mean, nothing new has been said about Eamon Casey that wasn't said or known when he was alive.
Yeah.
And I know this because I wrote it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the allegations about his abuse of his niece was made initially in 2005. It was investigated throughout 2006. The Gardaí interviewed Patricia, his niece, in January 2006. They continued their investigation throughout 2006 till August of that year. They interviewed him for 6 hours. They were both in the UK, himself and his niece at the time, for 6 hours then, on 13 separate grounds or charges that were made arising from the interview with her, and no charges were brought. The others have emerged since. I mean, there was one emerged in 2014 that was settled with by the Diocese of Limerick 2 years after Casey died in 2019. Mm. The detail of that is not known.
Yeah.
And the third case was of a woman who made an allegation in 2001 that as a 15-year-old in a reformatory or industrial school in Limerick, that Casey had sexually abused her. And she initiated a civil action against, or a court action against Casey, and dropped it, and then went to the redress board, which doesn't consider such matters at all. It just is for people who've been in residential institutions as children, and she got 40,000, which wasn't related to the Casey thing.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, I mean, even a dead man is entitled to his reputation, and and if he was alive, these allegations would not have been resurrected, because there's nothing new to add to what was already in the public domain, written by myself and by other journalists when he was alive. So I am concerned about this, and I'm concerned about the hoo-ha it has created, like digging his body up for retrial.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, by the way, most people don't realise this. That's what happened with Cromwell. When Cromwell died, Charles II came to the throne and Cromwell was put on trial for killing his father, Charles I. His body was literally dug up and ordered to be executed, and they hung the corpse. And Cromwell's head was on a pike outside the House of Commons in Westminster for years afterwards. I'm not saying that's what people are looking for with Eamon Casey, but this talk of removing him from the crypt in Galway is, I think, off the wall. And let's not be fair. There were 11 bishops and 61 priests at his funeral. And I covered it for the paper. I do not believe if any one of those people suspected Eamon Casey of child sex abuse, that one of them would be there.
Mm.
And to underline that fact, the Bishop of Dromore, John McAreevy, resigned within a year of that when it emerged that he had attended the funeral of an abuser, Father Malachy Finnegan, in Dromore Diocese, which is County Down. So, I mean, I think it does them a disservice too, and they would laugh at the likes of me coming to their aid, because I don't have a history of doing so.
Yeah.
But I just think this is grossly unfair, and I think that because a man is dead doesn't mean he forfeits the right to his good name. And I mean, there's no evidence, and this is a fact of it. There are allegations that Eamon Casey abused children, but there's no evidence.
Mm-hmm. Interesting take. Yep. Patsy, lovely to see you again, as ever. Patsy McGarry there. That piece about the weather is in today's Irish Times.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.